It's that time again on a Friday morning when AM Live presents another update from the coalface with Martin Kremer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Good morning to you, Martin.
Morning, Kulani.
How are you doing this morning?
Oh, great, thanks.
Fantastic. Martin, South Africa has 18 trillion rand worth of metals and minerals from which to rebuild its economy over the next 100 years.
What other country has this 100-year horizon and 18 trillion rands worth of metals and minerals in the ground on which to build? You know, if we throw ourselves back 100 years ago, where we're sitting here in the studio, there was nothing. And this was a gold discovery. And look at what they've built here around Johannesburg. This is sustainability. This is the linkages. We see the industries that have come up. We see the banks that have come up. We see this, the insurance companies, the universities. We are even in a better position now to refocus our economy around these metals and minerals, because we not only have gold, we still have more gold in the ground than we've mined, but we also have platinum, we have chrome, we have manganese, we have iron ore, and not to talk of the energy coal, because this excludes the energy coal, but we've also got the coking coal. So what we need to do is to make our mining industry the most efficient in the world. In other words, get rid of all the impediments that have held us back. We've been falling behind the rest of the world. We've been shrinking in mining because of the administrative hassles, because of the legislative framework, and because of the impediments that have been put in the way in the mining industry. You know, we now had a conference in Johannesburg this week organized by Anglo Gold Ashanti and Majoli Resources, Mining for Change, and they're saying, look at what we've got. We're sitting here on an 18 trillion treasure chest. Let's reshape our economy along those lines, and we've got the diversification opportunity, because once we get our mining running smoothly and we've got the energy provided and we've got the rail and the linkages, and that's what must come to make this mining very efficient. Look at all the other linkages that can come out, you know, because the mines need a lot of equipment in which to dig. And of course, you can have the industry developing that industry link around that. If you give some of these manufacturers who are already out there, I mean, Wadeville in Germiston was a huge mining workshop. I mean, that's what it was. Now it's been shrinking. Given an opportunity, say, this is your 100-year horizon. This is what you need to invest. I mean, we will come out with equipment, local equipment, which we know can be competitive. We see Bell equipment. We see the other equipment suppliers to the mining industry. They don't have any subsidies. And if they're given longer horizons and certainty, they can develop a lot. And also mining itself, it can change the way we do it, that you can rehabilitate at the same time. So therefore, you've got joint production activity, more jobs if you link the actual rehabilitation of the mine and you do it while you're mining. And that's not the end of the story. We've still got Africa, Southern Africa, Central Africa. I mean, just the financing of Central Africa's copper, and it's got to happen because the Chileans are depleting there. We've got all the high grade in Central Africa. That could turn our stock exchange into a new thriving market activity, because we could raise the capital for those activities.
Potential is limitless.
Limitless potential.
All right, in other news, of course, bad news for South Africa, that the country's one and only zinc refinery is destined for job-destroying closure.
And you see, this is the other side of the coin, where you see we've got a running zinc refinery. It's actually feeding into the market, not only you know, as refined zinc, but also sulfuric acid. And South Africa had problems. We miscalculated our energy situation. We ran into a very bad electricity supply crunch. And then what happens? We immediately close down our one and only zinc refinery. Can't we as South Africans just think and say, look, let's intervene for a short while. We know we've made a mistake with electricity. Why must these enterprises that are job creating, that are wealth creating, like this Zincor refinery out at Springs, why must it now close with 796 jobs? Can't we just give it a little bit of time and sort of in some way smooth over this high electricity price situation? Okay, zinc is a difficult business. We see Anglo American pulling out of zinc, and Exxaro, which is a black owned company, owns Zincor, closing this down, you know, and having to then deal with 796 people who have got to be placed in their organization or retrained. All the other industries around it, you know, suffering. So it's a reflection, it's a symbol of the erosion of the industrial footprint here in South Africa as a result of hiccups along the way, where the biggest one will be the high electricity price, because, you know, these refineries need a lot of electricity Also, we note that Vedanta, the Indians, are taking over zinc in Southern Africa because they're prepared to work for lower profit margins. You know, this is another thing that South Africans don't like doing. They like good profits and good margins. So perhaps a symbol of the problems of South Africa, this closure by Christmas of Zinco, our one and only zinc refinery, a lot of loss of jobs, a lot of heartache. And of course, we're going to have to import that zinc, so it's a burden on our foreign exchange.
We need creative solutions to these problems.
Definitely. And we need to realize that we've made a few mistakes. They shouldn't penalize us over the long term.
All right. Aerotropolis. I mean, this is an interesting term. Aerotropolis, that is the label, of course, that the Ekurhuleni municipality is giving to its promising new airport city ambition. Tell us about this term.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the 18th century, you had seaports that shaped business location and urban development. Then in the 19th century, the railways really shaped the business location and the urban development. And in the 20th century, our highways, you know, helped to shape the business location and urban development. Now, in the 21st century, the thinkers are saying, you know, it's going to be airports that shape our location and business development in the future. And one of the top people, John Quesada of the US, has persuaded the mayor of Ekurhuleni, Mondi Gungubela, that he has a fantastic asset here in the form of the O.R. Tambo Airport. This is a treasure chest, and it's got a lot of highway linkages already. It's got even the railway linkage in Germiston. So it's got a lot of things going for it. He's saying, why don't you now, instead of just allowing spontaneous development, plan this. Turn it into an aerotropolis, like, you know, they've been thinking in Amsterdam and in other big world airports, Seoul in Korea, etc., and China and India. They're talking aerotropolis. Where you turn this into a very big future business location, which is suited to, you know, time-sensitive type of industries and also a light industry. But there's a lot of other hotel opportunities, convention center opportunities, tourism opportunities. So he's saying, put this all together now and rethink your O.R. Tambo Airport, where there's such a great opportunity. And let's turn this into an airport city.
Martin Krimai, always interesting. He's the publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. He'll be back again at the Coalface at the same time next Friday. Thanks indeed, Martin.
Thanks, Kalani.